Okay, so good morning to all of you. I warmly thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present in the framework of this conference today, and also for the excellent organization. Regarding the case study that I propose to examine today, it is the Atlas Anatomico of Crisostomo Martinez. Crisostomo Martinez is one of the precursors of the use of the microscope in Spain, and he is active at the end of the 17th century. His peculiarity is that he is as much an artist as a scientist in that the images he produced are the result of his own research. During his career, Martinez produced 18 scientific plates that you can see here. The realization of the Atlas began as 1680, and he received to make it so, a grant of the city and the University of Valencia in Spain, where he is originating. Since the 16th century, Valencia was an important center of medical and pharmacological knowledge, as you may know. And it is in this context, as well as in Italy, that Martinez leans first on the art of the drawing and then on the study of the anatomy. This Atlas, Martinez is going to begin it in Valencia, but he is going to continue it in Paris from 1687. There, he is integrated with the anatomist of his time, he is familiar with Duvernay, and more widely with the Académie des Sciences de Paris. We know that he had in possession the work of Bidlow, Vesalius, and Valverde de Amusco. And we can therefore assume that he was aware of the scientific and artistic context in which he was working. Of these images that you see, only two were published and circulated throughout the 18th century. The first plate was published in Paris in 1689. And it is the one about proportions. It's the second to last plate of the PowerPoint slide. Unfortunately, Martinez had to leave Paris for Flanders for political reasons, and he died in 1694, far from having completed his atlas, which should have had many more plates. The plates that I present here are those published in the reedition of the atlas present in the monograph about Martinez, written by José María López Piñero in 1964. But although they were published together in the only monograph about Martinez, we are not sure that they were made to work together and therefore do not constitute a series. For this reason, I would avoid putting these plates in comparison with each other, but it is nevertheless interesting to know how Martinez's reproduction is articulated. The first plates engraved in Valencia that you see in the first line and the second half of the second line here represent the microstructure of the bones whose study is permitted by the microscope. Whereas the plates engraved in Paris that you see in the second half of the second line and in the third line have the contents of an osteological and neurological atlas. As I have already mentioned, one of Martinez's specificities is that he uses the new technology represented by the microscope, and some of the representation of bones present within his plates are proofs of results that can only be obtained using the microscope. Thus, for a part of his bones, Martinez will privilege the representation of a sagittal section of the bone, which is a form of representation which thus results from the use of the microscope. These images translate the recent researches and finds of Martinez thanks to the microscope. But the particularity of Martinez, in any case, concerning the plates made in Paris, it is that he is not satisfied to represent the finds about the bones which are allowed by the microscope. Indeed, for about half of his plates, he combines the discoveries made by the microscope with a more general and usual representation for an atlas of the human body. And we will see in a second step the role that the structure of the image plays in creating this relationship between the microscopic and the macroscopic. In my opinion, it is the presence in the same image of these two registers of figuration of the human body that makes these images so complex and intriguing. This is also one of the reasons that I chose to present this atlas for this conference. For my part, I propose that we focus on the architectural elements present in one particular plate. Architectural elements have not been studied in Martinez's work already. Yet my research into these plates demonstrates, as we shall see later, the epistemological importance of the architectural elements that punctuate these plates. In the logic of the more global problematic of my thesis, it will be a question today of studying the composition and the choice of the architectural elements made by Martinez in order to determine what they tell us about the artistic and scientific project of the artist anatomist. Another reason I choose this atlas is because of the text Martinez delivered. Although he did not produce much, it seems that he had a very enlightened pedagogical spirit, since most of the plates produced in Paris were accompanied by an explanatory text by the end of Martinez. So these texts accompanying the plates are sources, in my opinion, fundamental to understand the way that Martinez has to conceive the anatomy as much as the image. So I propose to concentrate on one of the 18 plates, and it is the 15th plate. At first glance, one can determine that it concerns the bone and muscle structure of the hip. If it is indeed about this subject, it is much more complex. To enter the plate together, I propose to conduct a short iconographic analysis to quickly review the elements of the decoration and the meanings they carry. The link between this plate of Martinez and the vanities is obvious at first glance, since the totality of the elements present in the plates offer a rich symbolic vision of death. And that's in conformity with the Jesuit philosophy, in the continuity of which the Atlas of Martinez seems to register. To begin with, what seems most obvious is the reference of the écorché to the figure of Adam holding the apple in his hand. The apple being obviously at the origin of all the evils and the mortality of the man. We are thus in front of an image of vanity whose most central element makes an obvious reference to the perishability of man, the history of it, and what led him to it. While Chastel used the term moralized anatomy to refer primarily to the representation of skeletons, the literature about this atlas does not hesitate to use this concept about the work of Martinez. As Chastel specifies it, the moralized anatomy transmits an iconography in double sense by allying science and vanity in the same representation. And it is exactly what Martinez delivers us here. With his image, Martinez encourages the reciprocity between scientific aspects of the human nature brought by the details of the bones, as well as by the écorché, and the theological dimension of the existence allowed by the dissemination of various classic elements of the vanities of the Baroque age. We will review shortly them, starting with the natural elements referring to the vanities. So first, in the center of the image is a pile of ashes in which the écorché places his feet. The ashes are an element of the vanities in the reference they make to the result of the death of the body and the transience of life. Furthermore, it is certain that Martinez wants to refer here to the passage in Genesis that directly concerns the story of Adam and says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the earth, from which you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." To the right and left of the écorché are cypress trees. The cypress trees, in the symbolism of gardens, especially funeral gardens, has a double meaning. It is both a symbol of sadness and death insofar as one cuts, it never grows back from its roots. But it is also a symbol of immortality by its strict verticality, which evokes the passage from earth to heaven. Then it is interesting to notice that the écorché is looking at the top right of the image. And this corresponds to a portion of sky in which there are two blackbirds that can be identified as ravens. As you may know, in the Christian traditions, ravens are the birds of death, primarily because of their black featherings and their preference for the flesh of the dead. Moreover, here they fly to the left, so they are to be interpreted as messengers of death. The ravens are flying towards another symbolic element of vanity that can be understood as cloud of smokes. And in Vanitas iconography, smoke evokes the fleeting, the ephemeral, the brevity of life insofar as it dissipates quickly. The smoke thus refers to the notion of time passing. As you certainly know, time is a sister notion of death because it completes the action of the former since its passage leads us to death. This notion of time passing and death at work is globally symbolized by all the natural elements previously mentioned, but it is also thematized in the artificial elements that we will now examine in more details. The artificial elements of this plate come together to form the setting of a cemetery. Although the board is unfinished on the left, the cypress tree and obelisk indicate that we are in a burial place. There is a good chance that the unfinished part is a tomb placed in front of an ancient temple, but we will never know for sure. The obelisk also has a funerary significance, but unlike the cypress, it only participates in the symbolism of resurrection by its strict verticality. One of the main artificial elements participating in the rhetoric of the vanities is the ring. It is not very present in this plate compared to the other plates of the whole corpus of Martinez, but it is nevertheless visible behind the right arm of the écorché. The ring is above all a strong and sober vision of the passing of the time. Its presence in an image with many vanity elements is therefore not surprising. Just like the obelisk and the position of the écorché, the ruin obviously refers to the antique. In connection with ancient architecture, as is also the case for the obelisk, it serves to evoke past grandeur and to make us reflect on the ephemeral nature of our footprints on Earth. In this, the ruin is one of the main artificial elements linked to the idea of vanity. But the ruin is also the image of lack. Indeed, runes symbolize the absence of unity as a fragment of what was once a whole. Talking to you about fragments allows me to get to the heart of what I want to say about this plate. Since the most present artificial elements of the plate is without question for me, architecture. This architecture is fragmented. We see different cubic and pyramidal elements that build the place of the image. These architectural elements stack up to accommodate the écorché and spread out to the left of the image to give the impression of a cemetery. Martinez uses fragments of architecture to structure his image. The fact that the architecture he uses refers to the ancient world is, in my opinion, not at all accidental. As you know, the ancient world is full of myths related to the composition and decomposition necessary for the ideal representation of the human body. When we know to what extent architects have always been inspired by the human body, its proportions, and its combinatorial possibilities to think about architecture, it is therefore possible to draw a parallel between the different elements of the human body, which are fragmented to be better understood by the anatomist, and the different elements of architecture, which, although visually separated, constitute a unity of place and time. This idea of unity allowed by architecture is even stronger when we think of the potential temple that will be to the left of the écorché. And more broadly, when we think of the cemetery. The cemetery and the temple are architectural buildings with a community purpose. Their role is to gather. Their role is really to make a community. And this idea of bringing together what is fragmented, of creating a community of mind and body, is really what I think architecture represents in this image. Indeed, we see visually very clearly that the architecture that Martinez sets up serves to gather the eye part of the image, which carries the symbolism of the vanities, the narration, and more largely the body in its whole, with the bottom of the image, which carries the bones, the fragments, and the dismantled body. The lower part of the image, which bears the section dedicated to the microscopic imaging of the body's bone structure, has been linked by the historian of science Nuria Valverde to the relics. The analogy between the microstructure of the bones and the relics seems to me to be coherent in view of the vanitas elements that abound in the upper part of the image. Moreover, the fact that the lower part of the image is composed of various bones and pieces of bone in an architecture reminiscent of a vault does indeed suggest the presentation of relics. The lower part of the image is therefore not free of religious and moral symbolism. But relics, although they are fragments, also have their importance in the preservation of the common memory and more broadly in the maintenance of the community. Moreover, the relic as a fragment does not lose its power. On the contrary, the remains of the saints could enjoy an almost infinite sharing without losing their miraculous potential. The fact that the part of the image dedicated to the microstructure of the bones is visually so close to the imagery of the relics is, in my opinion, indicative, of Martinez's desire to emphasize the positive side of this section. This section, although it fragments the body, allows man to know himself better and therefore to benefit his community. In the same way, referring visually and partly thanks to the architecture to the relics allows Martinez to underline the importance of the work of study with the microscope. The dissected bones function then as an allegory of the relic that the more it is fragmented, the more one can draw from it a certain sum of knowledge and thus of power. So you will have understood, in my opinion, it is the architecture which allows to create the unity between the whole body and the dissected parts of the body. We can then suppose that the architecture functions like a membrane that allows to hold the parts in a wall. This is plausible insofar as for an anatomist, the practice of dissection was related to the cutting up and dismantling of the body. So I'm going to conclude then. to conclude, I would say that Martinez's Atlas is obviously a testament to the scientific, religious, and societal upheavals of 17th century Spain. Martinez seemed to view scientific images as something that could combine the direct experience of the dissector with the spiritual demands of the Christian. Thus, we can assume that he saw the image as the place where allegory and concreteness can come together. And although vanity and science have their own spaces visually, just as the microscopic and the macroscopic, the bone and the whole body, the fragment and the whole in general, they are intermediated by means of architecture. The architecture that, like the membrane, allows the body to hold in a coherent whole, allow the different levels of referentiality of this image to articulate and dialogue with each other. Thank you very much.